Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray. What's up, Dan?
What's up, AJ? How you doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah?
What's new in Dan's world?
Still ACI stuff, man. Just trying to...
Still doing the ACI? Dude,
heck yeah.
I'm jealous. I gotta tell you, I'm jealous.
I wouldn't be... So one thing I've learned about ACI in this little journey of mine is it is so easy to get... to just get that whole environment messy. Like, it's easy. So you gotta definitely clean up. You can't let stuff linger. So... I'm doing a lot of learning in that regard, right? How to keep the environment clean, how to keep it, you know, straight and on the rails. So
right,
it's fun, but it's definitely a tedious one.
Oh man, I did like the one really big ACI project back in 2019, and there's been plenty of other ACI opportunities, but. Not around here in the Northeast. They've been like down in Texas and other places, and so I haven't really touched ACI since that first big project. And I gotta tell you, like, I'm itching to do it again. Like, I want to get back to it.
Yeah.
So
hey, fun.
You keep telling your ACI experience. I'll listen.
Yeah. It's like gather around. Fun fact for the listeners. I'm pretty sure ACI is what connected us, right? I think you were doing that.
Yeah.
That project. Yeah. And I was working on ACI, and I was like, I don't know if I reached out to you first or if you reached out to me, but
I think you hit me up first. You had something to share with me. You saw that I posted like an ACI book and we started talking over that.
Yeah. So just a fun little fact, what we're talking about right this second is mine and AJ's first, interactions with each other. So
yeah, that's right. I remember that fondly. Awesome, man.
So what have you been up to, man?
I'm getting ready to head out on another work trip. I'm going to be 2 weeks in Indianapolis working on another decent sized site. Actually, there's already a team of engineers out there now. They have been for the last 2 weeks. So I am going out to relieve some guys so they can go back home to their families. And we're doing some more of main campus switches, access layer switches. We got a core switch upgrade coming up this weekend, and we'll be doing some data center stuff next weekend and put a bow on this thing the week after that. So
okay, so you're gonna be there good. For about 2 weeks in this week and next week.
Yep. This week, well, so I'll come back like the 25th, 26th, something like that. I've got to tell you, I'm curious because I keep hearing about these 17-year cicadas. They're supposed to be coming out, and like Indiana's kind of like right there where they are, where a lot of them I guess tend to be. So I'm kind of interested to see them. I've never seen them. They don't come up here to Vermont. They'd probably freeze their little butts off.
Well, they're very loud and annoying, so there's nothing. You're not really missing much. Just so you know. Yeah, they're called like the Brood X or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a cicada expert, but yeah, they're interesting.
Are they out and about where you are? Or are they coming out?
No, they haven't come out yet. They keep saying like news and everything. They keep saying that it's any time now they'll be coming up out of the ground. So
maybe by the time this episode releases,
maybe we'll see. I hope not. I hope they just stay in there.
So that'll be my next couple weeks. So, I may not be around for, recording some episodes, but I'll try to get back in as soon as possible. I haven't quite figured out the on the road, recording setup, and, we're going to be working nights anyway. So
good deal. Yeah.
but I'll try to get back as soon as possible.
Daddy AJ is going to leave. The kids are going to be at home alone.
You guys are going to trash the house again.
Yeah. Nah, it's all good.
Awesome. Well, we got some good wins this week.
Let's hear.
We got quite a bit piled up. I forgot to announce a win at the beginning of last week's episode. It was a pretty big win for our buddy, Ver Taylor. Taylor passing another VMware professional level exam. He passed the VCP network virtualization, so it focuses on NSX.
Okay.
And yeah. I think he now holds 4 out of the 6 possible VCPs. And because of this, he personally now holds the VMware Data Center Virtualization Master Competency for the company that him and I work for. Like, he's solely, like, the company now has earned that because he got those 4 certifications. Like, normally, you know, maybe a few people on the team between, you know, 2, 3, 4 of them would have the 4 certs, and that's how the company would get the competency. But he did it all on its own.
Nice. Freaking Taylor.
And I think he's making plans to finish off those last two VCPs so he can, you know, collect them all. They're like, you know, Pokemon, he was saying in the winning channel. So.
Dude, that guy, he is an absolute machine, man.
He labs so much VMware, and he makes up his own use cases. Like, he hadn't had any experience with NSX yet. He wanted to learn it, so he figured out a use case for it in his home lab. He's got the VMUG Advantage, which includes NSX licensing, and he spun that stuff up. And he was telling me, like, after I spun it up and got it working, I tore it all down and did it again. And then I tore it all down and I did it again. And that's just how he gets the experience and learns it. And he mastered it enough to pass the exam. So
that's awesome. And just good, so the listeners, just so y'all know, it's not a home lab. It's a home data center at this point. the guy has a Nexus 9K in his house.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, like, we're talking about, you know, silly. It's just awesome.
And now that he owns a house, he has more room for more data center stuff, and I think he's got plans.
Now, does he have a fiance or is he married?
Not married.
Girlfriend.
Yet.
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. That. What a woman. That's all I gotta say.
I know. He's buying all this stuff, and she's signing for delivery, carrying the stuff down. I'm like, dude. Put a ring on it, man.
Dude,
put
a ring on it. Yeah. Just
I'm
a
sure
little,
he's going to love me
just,
talking about
just his. A little hint, Taylor.
Yeah, right. Alex with a K passed his CCNA. Congratulations, Alex. Ooh, CCNA. I got me one of these.
Oh, no. Is that Andy's goat?
Oh, gosh. So congratulations, Alex, for passing the CCNA. We got Service Type Framed past the AZ-900.
AZ-900.
Okay. Nargarat got a promotion to a network security engineer.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Did he say what he came from?
I think that one was coming from the NOC.
From the NOC to
so
a
that's pretty big.
Security
yep.
engineer. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good jump.
Nargarat. That was Nargarat, got the promotion network security engineer. Command Steve, 22, accepted a position at their current company as a network security architect.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pretty decent jump.
That's a good one.
Coming from frontline help desk.
Whoa. He went from help desk to architect?
Yep. And he said in the same company that he works for.
Nice. Dude, yeah. That good job on that one.
Like, yeah,
that's,
right?
That's a jump right there. I like that. Killing it.
And then Andre, I think it was just today or yesterday.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he got it. Yeah.
The GCIA.
I saw that. That is awesome.
Now GCIA certified. So congratulations to everyone. We will do another little goat screen.
Oh, gosh.
Amazon, $9. I got 2 of them. My son carries one around, makes it scream all the time. These things are so much fun. I'm telling you, we're going to get them, and we're going to put the A1 logo on it, and then we're going to give them away.
Can we legally do that?
Probably like not.
Yeah. Probably it's not. All right. We don't worry about it.
It's kind of cute. It comes with like a little storybook, too. Like, that's all about screaming goats.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
That's interesting. That's what Andy got, right? That.
Yeah.
That goat. Yeah.
He said like him and his coworkers share the screaming goat and they get like irritated. They, you know, scream and Andy has sent them around to his fellow coworkers and now he's got our community hooked on him.
Nice. I like it.
Awesome. So this week we're doing something a little different. A few weeks ago, we recorded with a different podcast. So this is a little bit of a crossover and we're going to rerun what we recorded with them. So it was with Frank Patacala. It was the IT Factor podcast. And so it's really cool. It's a community of AV folks that understand that, you know, there's a lot of IT in what they do in AV. And I've certainly had to touch a lot of AV over the years, and their community is full of people that, you know, are trying to make the leap to the IT world. Frank himself has a really deep IT and AV background. Mm-hmm. He got his CCNA at 17.
Yeah.
Man.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. But we had a great conversation with Frank, and you know, we learned quite a bit about his community, and hopefully we get some people coming over from there, and hopefully folks that listen to our podcast will check out the IT Factor, and we'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes. We'll put Frank's information for Twitter so you can check him out and follow him. One of the other things that they participate in is AV in the AM hashtag. So a couple times a month on Sunday mornings, you can follow the hashtag AV in the AM and jump in on the conversation. There was a pretty network engineer kind of focused conversation a few weeks ago that you know, a lot of people from our community jumped in on, and it was a pretty good time.
Yeah, and I think like one thing to take away from, you know, AV people and, you know, wanting to come into our world, especially, you know, from a network perspective, is all their devices like TVs and, you know, any of that, those, their sound systems that they're running now, it's the IoT stuff, right? I mean, that's essentially like, you know, where I work, we've got IoT stuff all over the state, right? And so we have to figure out how to mesh our worlds together and, you know, work in harmony, basically. Like, do you put them on the guest network? Do you, you know, that kind of stuff? Like, I don't need your Roku TV on my, you know, on my my main network taking up all my bandwidth, that kind of thing. So, it's definitely an interesting merge, I think, between those two, whatever you want to say, entities or whatever.
But I mean, it makes total sense. Like, mm-hmm. it's all over the enterprise, like you said, the Roku TVs, Apple TVs, all that stuff. Dedicated PCs and conference rooms, so people can log in, give the presentations. You know, I've worked at places that had larger conference rooms that had speaker systems and you know, VCRs, DVD players, HDMI cables just hanging around everywhere to plug into laptops and all that stuff. I used to work for a school district and had to do all the AV for all the classrooms, so they had the overhead projectors so the teachers could, you know, teach, interact with the students, do all sorts of stuff. So it makes total sense. You know, it sounds like within that community, a lot of people kind of draw the line, like there's IT and then there's AV. And and for me, it's just always been kind of one big blur.
Yeah, they're part, I mean, you know, they're machines that are participating on your network at this point. They're not on their own thing anymore.
Yeah, totally.
So
awesome. Well, we hope you enjoy this episode of the Art of Network Engineering and IT Factor crossover, and we will catch you guys next week.
See you.
See ya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special episode. It's not just an episode of IT Factor. This is the crossover event of the year. This is a bunch of amazing folks from the Art of Network Engineering. They have their own podcast show. They've decided to come on to the AV side of things and have a conversation with us. And we've decided to tread the lines and, you know, share where we can go together on this. I'm Frank Patacala, the host of IT Factor. And I will not be a host today. We're just going to have a fun little conversation. I'm going to pass it on to the folks at the Art of Network Engineering. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Hey, good evening. Howdy. Frank. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, man.
I guess we'll do introductions. AJ, if you want to go first, so all our listeners can know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is AJ Murray. I am one of the co-hosts here at the Art of Network Engineering podcast. And my day job is a senior deployment engineer for a integrator.
Nice.
Yep. Where do you live, AJ?
Oh, that's a good question, Aaron. Thank you. I live in...
don't give them your address or anything. Just like, I normally general area is fine.
But, yeah, since we're crossing over to another podcast, I don't want to spread it too far. I live in Vermont, up in beautiful New England.
Nice.
Go ahead, Dan.
So my name is Dan Richards. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am a network administrator at an insurance company there. And I'm also a co-host on the podcast.
Nice.
The Art of Network Engineering podcast.
Yes, that podcast.
Nice. Feel free to pitch it 100 times because I'm going to be saying IT fact for every 2 minutes. So,
Frank, I have a button. It's like the easy button. It's just like Art of Network Engineering podcast.
Yes.
It's actually Dan's voice too, which is ironic. But I guess I'm last. So, and my name is Aaron Weiler, at Aaron Engineered on Twitter, AaronEngineered.com, Aaron Engineered on Instagram, however, wherever books are sold. And I am also a co-host at the Art of Network Engineering. I live right across the street from where a lot of the Cisco Live events are in beautiful downtown San Diego.
Sweet. Nice. Doesn't get any more networking than that.
Not joining us tonight is Andy Laptev. He's coaching his son's baseball game, but I wouldn't want to let introductions go by without letting folks know that there's a fourth person.
He does exist. We do acknowledge him.
He does exist.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good change of pace because I watched your previous podcast episode and it seemed like it was just the two of you guys. So, you know, this is going to be a different one.
Yeah. You know, there's one out of the two of us that you might get sick of quicker. And, you know, his last name rhymes with Raptef. So
there you go, guys. Talk smack about the guy who's not here.
Thanks for having us on though, dude. We really appreciate it. I mean, this is one heck of a, like, I feel like this is like a long time coming, like, crossover. It's not really a crossover either. Like, it's almost like a gray area.
Right? Yes. Yes. And that's it's funny you say that. I mean, I had to say this. If we did this a week ago, I would be Frank Patacala, design engineer at Diversified. Currently, I am in between jobs, literally in between jobs, and I hope to make an announcement Monday. What day is Monday? Oh, my Lord. Let me take a look.
19th? Yeah,
the 19th is when I'll be making my announcements. I'm not sure. I'm guessing this episode might air sooner on AV Nation. If it does, check out, you know, my Twitter or my LinkedIn on Monday. So right now, I'm just a podcast host with you guys. That's all I am.
Just. I like how you said just, right?
I take a lot of pride in this. You know, I think podcasts like yourselves, and hopefully what I aspire to be, is sources of information, informal information, right? Because you can get your education and your videos from your YouTubes. And there's the amazing content producers out there that are teaching you every day about networking and AV and all that good stuff, right? But the alternative is people like us who just come in and just record and share what's coming to our minds, you know, and just be that firsthand experience. And that's what I liked about your podcast. And especially, I'm going to give a huge shout out to your Discord group. Your server is amazing. A lot of wonderful people on there. It's a community. And I'm a huge fan of that. I believe that's how true learning happens, being a part of a community. It's, you know, you just absorb it by osmosis. You know, you just hang around with good people, you learn something.
Totally. Totally. Now, you hit on something there too that was like something I actually never really thought of was, because this was not our goal to begin with, being that our goal wasn't like to be completely different. It was more like, you know, what can we do to help? And I think accidentally what ended up happening was that, you know, you say it's like a real conversation and it feels just kind of like we're just hanging out or whatever. I mean, we quite literally are, right? Like, and for some of us, this is like our time to hang out during the week. Like, this is just like hanging out. And just like at a water cooler, this is all you would talk about. But I think the thing that sticks out after what you said is that, you know, the community aspect of it is like, it's, you don't need the book smarts from us, but you somehow, like, through osmosis get those street smarts.
Yeah.
Right? Like we have a lot of people in our Discord group, like you just mentioned, that, you know, they'll give you tips and tricks on, like, you know, maybe they're three steps ahead of you and where you want to be in your career, or maybe they're the step ahead of you, or maybe they're a step behind you, and they're like, okay, somebody could, and I see this all the time, and I'm sure you have too, Frank, where it's like, hey, like somebody says, hey, I have an interview tomorrow, you know, it's going to be a technical interview. Like, you know, what kind of tips do you guys have? And it's like, you know, guys that are doing the interviews chime in and they're like, here's what I would ask. Here's what I would look for. Right. So it's like, it ends up being almost like filling in the gaps, I guess is the best way to put it. Right. Through all that, like, other technical stuff that you can find on the internet.
Couldn't have said it better. Yeah. And you know, that's one of my beliefs, you know. So when I took IT Factor over last year, one of my goals is I believe there's an information technology blanket that exists across, you know, the spaces, whatever corporate, retail, whatever you're doing, and we are all different arms of it, organs, so to speak, who fulfill certain needs. We are distinct in our identities, but there are times when we need to work together. There are times when we need to understand each other. And it doesn't help by separating out, hey, I'm a network guy, I'm not gonna talk to you, or I'm an AV guy, that's on that side of thing. That kind of animosity, that kind of, you know, infighting never leads to a project. So my hope is that by having people like you on shows like this, and getting people on the AV side to listen, that these are individuals just like us who face the exact same problems that we do on their side of things. So the best way to solve those things is open conversation. I don't think there's any technology that has been found to date that can solve, or, you know, can substitute for open conversation.
Totally. No, that's a good point too. And I was just thinking about IT too. And I was thinking about how difficult IT can be.
Yes.
And I was like, and I was thinking about AV, and I was thinking about AV in a very simple sense, right? Like, like just that, like, okay, let's just say my home entertainment system, right? And I'm not talking about corporate AV here,
right?
But it is all IT, right? Every single thing I have in my house is connected. And when I was thinking about, man, that's pretty difficult, right? Like figuring out how to hook up a Wi-Fi network. And then I thought about my parents, and they can't even work the DVR remote. You know what I mean? And so it's strange to me, because we've had all these IT advances, like in Wi-Fi and stuff like that, where it's like it makes things easier. Like there was that WPS button a while back where, you know, you could press it on your little home router and then press it on somewhere else real quick, and then all of a sudden they were paired or whatever. But in AV, it's like we start getting more and more stuff that's connected, and that only makes it more complicated, because AV is interesting to me because there's so many dependencies, right? Like I think it was interesting the way that, like, the way I was thinking about, like, how IoT is kind of taken over, and AV is the same way. And like network engineers like us have to worry about stuff like AV stuff that we didn't before. You know what I mean? Like, and we're talking speakers, like whatever, like I you know,
almost
you
everything
name it.
Is on the network. You know,
everything.
I could literally put together a project that is completely networked, and I would be doing an AV project, but you could be configuring the switch because that's your expertise. You're a network engineer, and you could be configuring it, and I'm just putting my stuff on your network, right?
Yep.
And I think that is precisely the point that I'm trying to say. I mean, there's no need to, you know, draw lines in a technology platform anymore, because everybody has to understand something on the other side. And you know, it's about having the resources to answer those questions. I mean, I'm going to ask Dan, I'm very curious, because he's a network administrator, and I'm sure you got to deal with some form of AV vendors. And, you know, and I'll tell you this, I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you've heard this from an AV guy. We tend to hate network administrators because
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
But why?
What's the beef?
So the beef is you guys say no to everything, right?
That's fair. That's fair.
Right. And so
I can tell you as a network engineer that we don't like the AV guys because they always suggest opening up to security, and that's why we
there you go.
Yeah. 2.1x, baby.
This is my point. So I come from an IT background, and I kind of, you know, I'm that, I straddle that line between AV and IT, and I'm on AV projects, I'm the IT network consultant, and I come in and, you know, I kind of solve this. And the way I do it is by telling you guys, I have to put this device on your network in order for it to work, but you need to open up XYZ port for me. That's the only way I can do it. And I have never had a network administrator come back and say, I'm not going to do it. They say, yes, I get it. If the company needs it, my job is to do it for you. I'll fix it for you. But if I come and say, hey, I'm going to throw this bunch of gear on your network. You need to make it, you need, it needs to work. You're not going to find that very helpful. So I think what I did there is the language and trying to talk in terms that would be acceptable to network administrators. And in order to do that, I need to know networking. Right?
Yeah. So for me, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what's your source, what's your destination, and what port do you need? And that's going to answer a lot of my questions right there. So if you already have that, you know, ahead of time before you're like, hey, I'm just going to throw this stuff on your network and I need to talk, you know, come with that little checklist of like source, destination, and port.
Exactly.
Dan, has anybody ever come to you though with like extensive stuff? So I'm just thinking of a project that I did in the past, and I don't know, Frank's going to get super excited about this probably. So we were putting a bunch of TVs in Wrigley Field, and so the delivery method was IPTV. So basically we had to get the network team to accept our, you know, handoff, like our MPEG stream, right? And we also had to have multicast set up on all the switches and routers. Ooh, right? So
lovely.
Right. So huge integration. This is right in your wheelhouse, Frank, because without people knowing both, it's like I can imagine somebody trying to put a video stream through a network and just scratching the hell out of their head, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
Several of our folks have done that. You know, I'm not gonna name names, but I still remember how somebody went in with a switch, a regular switch, and they thought, hey, my rack, my AV rack needs 5 network ports. Let me just put this hub onto it and plug all 5 together. And it shut down the entire network for half the building. And we had security people running in, and it was a mess. It was the worst thing that could happen. They were going to call the cops. They didn't know what was happening. They literally thought they were under attack. So I feel that's you great. There. Yeah.
That's Matt or Dan, I was going to say, have you ever had to do that for anybody? Or it's just
No, nothing like that. The funny thing is so we actually have a guy that works with us who he does all the AV stuff there. So
there you go. You have
he actually works at the place though.
Good.
You have
good.
A Frank.
Yeah, we have a Frank, but he's just a part of our team.
Nice.
He's
nice.
He's not a contractor or anything.
Good. 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 Yeah. See, that's the point, right? I mean, understanding that these are individuals on either side and they're just trying to do their job. My favorite analogy that I give to people who complain about networks is you're going into another man's house and saying, can I feed your child something that I just brought and I cook? And obviously, even if you're a nice person and if they like you, they will still want to know what's in it. They want to know how it can affect the child.
Yeah, right. Totally.
You're going into another man's house here. So follow their rules is what I say.
That's hilarious. You know, that's one hell of an analogy, dude. Analogy.
Nailed it.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
Because when you come into my network, that's my baby. You know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's a good analogy. I appreciate that.
People don't understand that. It is your baby because you've seen it grow, you've seen it crash, you've seen the problems, you've solved it, and finally you have it stable, and here comes a guy and says, I have this super cool camera that'll give you the most amazing experience. Let me just put it on there. You know, super cool, I agree, but it could crash your network. So, you know, and the same thing on my side. Like, I don't want people tinkering with my DSPs or my programming systems or my control touch panels. I like it untouched, right? So it's about understanding the architecture, and it's understanding that you're part of a group. And AV, in my opinion, has traditionally not played that. Because in the past, right, when you had your SDI or your, you know, your cable TVs and your, you know, your BNCs and that layer of analog AV, it didn't need to interact with your IT systems, but that has all changed. I mean, changed for a while now. Everything is on the network. Systems are all IP-based. There's some form of interaction with the network every day. Every AV manufacturer out there is using the cloud to kind of, you know, leverage cloud abilities and cloud deployments. They're trying to do configurations in advance. So they're all doing the things that everybody else is doing. So it's important that every, you know, the AV folks catch up. And so part of my hopes today is I really want to get, you know, I want to get the DL on you guys. I want to understand how you guys got into network engineering. Because if I'm an aspiring AV tech, I've been in AV for 5 years, for 2 years, and I like networking. I'd like to be in networking. How do I end up there? I mean, I know I'm going to hear completely random stories here because that's the beauty of technology. Nobody ever starts off thinking they're going to be a network administrator or a network engineer or, you know, or an AV person for that matter. They kind of just end up there. I feel that's a story for most technology professions. But I want to hear it from you guys. I'm sure, you know, everybody on the IT field who listens to the IT Factor would love to hear that. I'm sure of that.
All right. So I can take that one, Frank. I can start off there. So out of high school, I went to college. I was just going to community college. Didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I took a C++ programming class and I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it to the point where I didn't think, you know, I didn't want to do that as my career. Right. So I switched from a general ed to an IT degree. One of the last classes I took was networking. And that's where I really fell into networking. You know, I could see it was something that was sustainable, you know, career-wise. And it was something that, you know, networking is always going to be around because devices need to talk to other devices. That's never going to go away. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, learning about it. It was advancing. And especially now today, like it's crazy to see how far networking has come just in the last 5 years, but it's definitely my passion. And so, for most of my career, I've been a generalist. I've done IT manager, sysadmin, network admin, you know, a little bit of everything. You know, with that, I got a lot of great experience, but I never really focused on anything. And a few years ago, I decided like, I really want to turn my attention to networking. So I got my CCNA, got some other networking certs, joined a company that is an integrator. So, you know, if you want to buy some technology, you come see us. And then if you want us to install it, I'll show up and learn your environment and help you, you know, adopt the solution that you've purchased. And so my focus is networking. We do a lot of Cisco networking, mainly everything that I touch is Cisco networking, but you know, if you buy Juniper, I'll do that too.
Awesome. 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 Yeah. And you know, please go around the room. I'd love to hear your origin story. I mean, this is a crossover event, so.
I always love Dan's. It's like, so there I was sitting at the bus stop with a box of chocolates.
Wait, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Really?
No, you haven't. No. Yeah, for me, so I got into video games, right? And then I progressed into I liked hosting video games. And so I got into learning about like, you know, dedicated servers and whatnot, how you could host a you know, like, so back in my day, it was Halo, right? Halo Combat Evolved, the first one, Call of Duty, those games. So then I started hosting those games for friends and whatnot. And I just took off right there. Cause like, you know, whenever you're hosting a server, you have to get into your router's config, right? And you have to do port forwarding and that kind of stuff. And as I started learning more about that, I just went down the rabbit hole and here I am. So, but I went to a tech centered college. Like, I don't know if you guys remember ITT Tech.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. But, that's the college I went to, and I got a associate's there, and it was in computer networking. So that's whenever I just took off big time. Right. And then I got a good job at the company I'm at now, and I've just super deep dived into the whole networking. So I've done a little bit of server administration as well. I started that whenever I was doing server administration when I first started, and also the network side of the house. Then our team split, and now I'm just solely focused on networking. So
nice. Very nice.
You know, I too have a video game origin story. You know, anytime we start telling stories, it's so funny because Dan and I always, I feel like there's this weird overlap where we almost have the exact same life in a lot of places. Like,
I'm pretty sure I was owning you in video games back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. So I definitely think we had a link there.
Look, first of all, the FPS I was getting on that Voodoo 3 video card that I had.
I gotta hear this.
I know. So yeah, I started out with video games too, and it was very similar, but like, I got really good really fast. So I was traveling around to different LAN centers and I was in tournaments and stuff. I played the original Counter-Strike when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Half-Life Deathmatch and then Counter-Strike Beta 1. Day 1, Beta 1, I downloaded Counter-Strike and I didn't look back. And so all the way up until 1.6, I played professionally. And I was in like the local American cyber athlete professional leagues and stuff like that. And pretty well known in that community. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So pretty well known in that community. And that was like late 90s, early 2000s. And then I always remember, this is the funniest thing to me, I always remember going to LAN centers and like, or LAN parties. And we go to LAN parties, like Dan was talking about, and you had to go into your router settings and figure out what the heck was going on. Right. And mm-hmm. I always remembered like at home, we'd all be like, okay, I have a 192.168, you know, and you just remember that stuff. And you're like, okay, I have a 192.168. So that's what I need to do everywhere I go. Well, then you go to a LAN center and I remember it's clear as day. I can even like picture the scenery. And the guy looked at me and he goes, so you have to put your own IP address in. And I'm like, of course I got this. I know exactly what to do. And he goes, so 10.10. And I'm like, whoa, buddy. What? 10 dot, you could do that? Like, what does that even mean? He's like, I don't have time to explain all this to you. And I was like, I'm just the kind of guy that doesn't like to do stuff just because somebody's telling me to do it. You know what I mean? I gotta figure it out. So anyway, I ended up getting a job at the cable company because I thought the only cool way to play video games at that time was if you had a cable modem, which was not a very I would say like widespread thing at that time, right? It was like the neighborhoods were unique, all that kind of stuff. So like the fact that I had like a high speed connection, although it was only 128 down, right? And then 256 and then 768, you know, the gold package. I was blowing people out of the water. You know what I mean? Super low pings and stuff like that. And I wanted a job at the cable company because I wanted to know how the cable modem worked. And so I went to the cable company. They kept turning me down and I eventually got a job there. Like they didn't want to hire me. I eventually got a job there and basically I haven't looked back since. I've been everything from field tech to I was the very first charter business technician, which is now Spectrum, in the St. Louis area. Shout out to Mitch, our producer here. And then I was hired by another cable company and then another cable company. So, you know, sales engineer, trainer, all that. So for me, it's always been kind of like I started very early at hands-on and then moved into like the conceptual side of things and like design and architecture and stuff like that.
Amazing. And you know, see, there's a common thread for me here, because if you ever come into an AV community thing, and you know, if you get into our Twitter storms, and you know, I had AJ
on the Sunday morning ones. Is that what you're talking about?
The Sunday morning ones, yeah. AV in the AM. You'll see. It's very similar to how people got into AV as well. I mean, they were guitarists, or they were playing in a band, or they were doing something.
Yep.
There was a passion. And I'm not saying you didn't do well in your passion, but it kind of evolved into a profession. You know, something that you liked eventually became something that you could do every day. And that's how a lot of AV people are. So I think there are similarities. I think this is a theme here, and people need to understand that, because my mission in the AV space is to tell people that people across the aisle as network admins or network administrators or network engineers are no different than us. They all came from varied backgrounds and kind of came to be where they are. They don't come with a chip on their shoulder. It's just, you guys are talking two different languages. And once you get that, once you get across that, you'll find more similarities than you're different. So I see that, and I'm glad you guys shared your stories. That's amazing. Same thing with me. I mean, I was on the IT side. I'm into cybersecurity. If I wasn't doing AV, I'd probably be a cybersecurity professional. That's where my passion's at. And AV was one of my first jobs, right? I did AV and then I stopped that. I went into cybersecurity. And then when I started looking around for cybersecurity jobs, I actually ended up in an AV company. And I thought, well, there goes all my cybersecurity. What am I going to do with all this? But lo and behold, AV gear is on the network. So there's cybersecurity. You need to understand the principles. You need to have these conversations. I love networking, by the way. I mean, I built my first PC when I was around 12, and
yeah,
I loved everything about PC. I still do. It's like it's my same passion. You know, I love computers. I love the networks. I got Cisco certified when I was 17. You know, and
whoa.
CCNA at 17. I love networking, and it kind of has been a side of me, and I never realized that I would be able to use it within the AV space because AV has evolved so much. In the past, you could easily come in and become an AV tech and not know anything about networks, but I think we're way past that.
Sure.
And any AV professional needs to understand this. And here's the thing. Agree. And I'm trying to say this in in good faith to all my AV brethren out there, that network professionals are just like us, in which they've taken the time, put the effort to learn with their, and they're still learning, you know, because networking is also evolving. You can't be a network professional who knew something 10 years ago and say, I'm good enough for now. No, you guys are putting in the time. I followed some of AJ's certs and, you know, his cert journey, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he has to find, we're all people with families, and hopefully we have a life outside of all of this. And we still find time to study and do the exams. And that's what I'm trying to say, right? It is possible become cross-trained. It is possible to, you know, kind of spread your wings and gain that knowledge. And I'm glad you guys are vindicating my faith that you're all technology. That's what I would say. I mean, there are people who say, you know, AV is different. Even you guys, right? Your journey into networking could have very well become a journey into AV if Absolutely. The passion for your router had become the passion for your display, and think, wow, yep. how did these images happen? Yep. How is this thing projected? You could have very well become an AV. It's just, you know, a fork in the road, and you saw the router and you liked the settings. You're network engineers, you know? So yep. that's how close we are in terms of industries. And that's what hopefully people understand, that the language needs to be consistent. We need to learn from each other and, you know, be successful together.
You know, it goes beyond like the work life balance, like you said too, because you kind of hit on two points. The passion like turns into something, right?
Right.
I think like AJ and I were talking about this earlier. I was curious. We have a big thing in the IT community, which you've seen because you're in our Discord channel. It's like our home labs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the thing, right? Like we certainly can't get enough to do at work. You right. know, we got to go home and play with it.
Do
right?
the same thing again.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So give us an idea then of like an AV version of the home. Like, look at Dan's back there. It's insane. He's got like three different 19-inch racks.
Home lab?
Dude, oh, he's insane. Man. Yeah.
Jesus. Home labs.
Nice. Home labs.
So give us an idea, man. What's an AV home lab look like? I mean, you guys got to have a lot of cool stuff, right? Like
we do. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to work for a company that interacts with multiple manufacturers,
yeah.
you get to interact with all kinds of products and, you know, microphones, cameras, speakers, projectors, displays. There's a whole, you know, a whole array of very cool solutions out there.
Right.
And it's funny. And even like we're at a fork in the road there as well, because as far as corporate AV is concerned, a lot of that is being gobbled up by the new UC platforms, right? I think UC is its own beast. UC is coming in, and they're just a platform. We're on Zoom right now. We're using Zoom's right. platform, and Zoom has its list of Zoom certified hardware, Zoom certified devices. What that means is that you plug it into a Zoom ecosystem, and essentially it works, right?
By itself,
so in a sense, it takes away the creativity of an AV professional because it's all done for you in a sense, but it also gives you the opportunity to start thinking out of the box because it's about the experience. Like AV people always talk about what your experience is like. And again, this is one of my arguments with everyone, right? I'm of school of thought that everybody has experiences in every technology platform. Like you as a network professional, you have an experience too, right? When you were gaming, if your internet, your network was slow, your experience is terrible. So a lot of different factors add to that experience. The display has to be great. Your system has to be fast enough. Your network has to be able to hold up. It's a combination of all these things that bring your experience. So we kind of like to deal in those experiences, but the experiences is a universal thing. So our typical home labs or our labs would be all about audio gear. You know, I don't want to turn off my background because I don't want you to see all the stuff that I have here. It's a mess.
People are going to rob you or what, dude? You got enough in there?
I swear if somebody were to try that, I don't think they'd find anything worthwhile because it's like a bunch of stuff. You know, what is all this, right? Like, you know, like a Cisco switch. I have my own Cisco switch set up here too. So what I kind of do is like I get these cool microphones, I get these devices, I plug them into the network, see how it plays. So that's my thing. Now you could go into other people. You go on our Twitters. You know, I'm going to name drop Chris Netto here because I think off late he's been on a crazy technology binge because he's changing his lighting setup. He's changing his audio setup because he wants to sound better. He wants to look better on camera. He wants to have the perfect lighting. So every day he posts pictures and he updates you with the stuff he's doing. That's AV for you. AV can be anything. Now, it could also be a guy with a guitar sitting and playing and strumming away. You know, it's like AV experiences are quite varied. But a professional standpoint, it depends a lot on what you're doing. And like you said, AJ, AV has so many dependencies and we're kind of in different things, right? So depending on where you're at, my home lab and your home lab could look the same. It could be the same thing. You know, it's just like we're putting different things on our network. So right. Awesome question. It's there's so many similarities. I can't even begin to start saying how, you know, honestly, I think anybody can transition from one field to the other given the right amount of training in the community. I think that, yeah, I mean, that's a message that I'd like to share, you know.
Totally. I think AV is just another discipline, right? In the genre of what we would call like technology. And
I agree.
We started off by saying like everything's just kind of gray, you know, so it's like it's kind of all over. It's my thought that if you learn how to absorb and learn how technology focus learning, right? Like you're into that kind of stuff. I don't see any issue with someone making just a clean transition from point A to point B because it's maybe different acronyms and stuff like that, but the idea is the same. And Frank, I think you've been saying this the whole time. You're just trying to move information from one point to another, whether it's a video stream, an audio stream, or data, whatever. Or you know, lights, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. And especially now when folks like to say the dirty words like IoT all the time and stuff like that. But you know, that's you, right? AV is IoT for the, you know, yep. I mean, there's lots of other stuff, sensors and stuff like that. But like, you're the cool version of IoT. Like, let's just be for real.
Exactly. And you know, and it's not about saying that, you know, network is just the platform. No, it's another ecosystem. It's like, all right, you're taking all your cool stuff and you got to go with these guys. You know, it's about understanding those codependencies and finding that balance. Excellent point, Aaron. It's like, I really didn't want to say anything because you just hit the nail on the head. You just said the words that I always like to hear. We're all technology. And, you know, on that note, I honestly, I don't know what else to say. I'm really happy that we got to chat like this. And this has been a completely unscripted, unplanned episode of the IT Factor and the Art of Network Engineering. You know, just going to show that technology is technology. If you want to do one discipline as opposed to the other, find the community that serves your interests, have a chat with people. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people out there who's happy to guide you.
Totally. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys should check out all these cool folks on their Twitters. Please share your, you know, wonderful information and your Discord and all that good stuff. I want people to hear it and be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can follow me on Twitter at noblinkyblinky, and you can follow the Art of Network Engineering at artofnetenge.
Yep. And what's your website? Noblinkyblinky.com.
Blog.noblinkyblinky.com. Yep.
Yeah, that's a very famous blog in case you haven't stumbled upon it in your journey through the internet yet.
Yeah, right.
Especially today.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And then you can check out the artofnetworkengineering.com. We've got lots of blog articles on there. We have a lot of people from our community that contribute to the blog, which makes it that much better. You know, we talk about stuff like technology, preparing for an interview, you know, we kind of cover the whole gamut. So it's a really cool place to check out and learn some stuff, consume some stuff. And you can also get links to all your favorite podcatchers and subscribe to our podcast.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, Aaron, if you want to share your Twitter, I know you did at the beginning, but feel free to share it again.
Yeah, and... of course. Yeah, I'm at Aaron Engineered everywhere books are sold. So just Google it, baby.
I'm also on the Twitters. I don't get on there too much though.
But when he does,
when I do, there's some gold there, right? No.
So, oh God! If you guys didn't hear that, it's literally at Howdy Packet. Yeah. Like a Texan with a packet. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
That's what
happens when a Texan starts to ping. You know, Howdy Packet.
Howdy Packet. Oh my God! It's a Howdy Packet.
Nice.
The idea was a hello packet, right?
Yeah exactly. That was actually our community voted on that one, so. So that's
nice. It's a sum of its parts for sure, and Dan is like the head of it because he gracefully let the entire community pick his name. We gave him a couple of choices, but that was
because for some reason in 2020 he wasn't on Twitter yet.
Yeah.
Wow. We are in technology, right? I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
something like that.
But it's awesome. I'm Frank Patacalo. You can find me on Twitter, Frank Patacalo. The podcast that I host is IT Factor, and we are on avnation.tv. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm open to communicate with anyone. I love talking technology, and this has absolutely been amazing. I'd love to do this again sometime, just a casual conversation of different technologies coming together and trying to understand their similarities. This has been so awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for making the time for this. You know, I hope our communities, our respective communities, have learned at least something about ourselves. And, you know, if anyone wants to chat, I'm sure all of us are open ears. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank
absolutely.
You, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at ArtOfNetEng. That's ArtOfNetEng. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.